right, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is the 7th day of October, and of course, the one-year anniversary of the horrible attacks on Israel, which of course killed, about 12 or 1,300 people, I believe, and it's the reverberation still being felt today. I'm still surprised, unless I've missed it, that we haven't had some sort of an attack on Iran in retribution for them firing 200 missiles last week. But there obviously were some explosions in Lebanon this morning. Kamala Harris is concerned about the people in Lebanon, apparently more than the people in the Carolinas.
Right. I mean, the whole thing is just disgusting where her priorities are. And going back to the whole anti-Semitism, I mean, you had the people with the signs, the swastikas over Interstate 64 over the weekend. I also found a story that talked about how more than 100 residents in this Michigan town were given these anti-Semitic flyers that were outside their home ahead of today's anniversary.
Wow. Yeah, I heard that there's going to be protests all around the country today in support of the Palestinians.
Wow.
And, you know, I get that. I can separate, to some extent, the Palestinian people from Hamas. But the Palestinian people have tolerated Hamas for 20 years. And in many cases, they've been brainwashed. They've allowed their kids to be brainwashed by that same group of terrorists. And at some point, you can't separate yourself from that. If you know that they're living in your basement and they're firing rockets from your roof, you can't be surprised when the Israelis bomb your roof. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And you've even today, you've got people like Kamala Harris on today's anniversary, unable to look into a camera on 60 Minutes and say that Benjamin Netanyahu is is America's ally. She's not willing to say it. And I'm going to play that sound for you coming up because I almost couldn't believe it. 60 Minutes almost couldn't believe it when they asked her that question. Oh, the Israeli people are our allies. But she wouldn't say Benjamin Netanyahu was because she doesn't like him. She doesn't want a strong leader in Israel who wants to prosecute terrorists. So that's kind of where we are a year later. It is a sad, sad state of affairs. Coming up, we'll get to our friend Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at Heritage. There's been some advancement on the election integrity front. I want to get to that with Hans. Never more important, the fact that the election is a little less than a month away now. So we need to pay attention to what's going on. Make sure there are no last-minute court changes or challenges that could allow drop boxes again everywhere, like we had in 2020. It was a disaster. We'll get to that for you coming up. But first, this morning's top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You signed the bill that makes it legal through all 9 months. Is that a position you think Democrats should advocate for nationally?
The Vice President and I have been clear the restoration of Roe versus Wade is what we're asking.
I tell you what, Shannon Bream did a masterful job challenging Tim Walz and his nonsense that he utters when he gets on TV, bragging about this law in Minnesota, and it goes much further than Roe versus Wade ever did, allowing abortion up until birth.
This is a humanitarian challenge to all of us. What the administration has inherited is a broken system at the border, and they are working to correct that.
Yeah, that was Nancy Pelosi back in 2021, where she admitted FEMA was spending resources at the southern border, at that point dealing with some of the migrant children that were coming across, the children of illegals who were crossing the border. If you don't think that's still happening today, you're a fool.
What made you want to do Caller Daddy today?
Well, I think you and your listeners have really got this thing right, which is one of the best ways to communicate with people is to be real.
To be real on a podcast that at one point was a sex podcast. And I don't know what it's transformed into now, but Kamala Harris is clearly going after the pink hat crowd and the lefties because this Call Her Daddy podcast hits that demographic perfectly.
Exactly 12 weeks ago this evening on this very ground, a cold-blooded assassin aim to silence me and to silence the greatest movement, MAGA.
Yeah, that was savage. I got to say, going back to the scene of the crime, President Trump appearing in Butler, Pennsylvania yesterday, and of course getting up on the stage and one of the opening lines he had the other night was probably the best. He gets up on the stage and he says this to the crowd.
As I was saying,
as he turns to the screen to point to the immigration statistics, the turn that probably saved his life when he was shot back in July.
Yep. I love that line. I love that Elon Musk was there with his, you see like the blacked out. I mean, it was really cool looking. It said, make America great again. But usually you see the red hats and then you have Elon Musk jumping up. And every picture I've seen says, like, this is joy.
Yeah.
You have Trump at the podium, Elon Musk jumping up.
I love the fact that Elon Musk is supporting President Trump because he is also a businessman. He sees what what the policies of Harris and Biden have done to America. But more than that, I like Elon Musk better tweeting than I do talking. Did you listen to his comments? He's got a stilted. Now, first of all, he's an immigrant, right? A legal immigrant to the United States. He's South African. So he's got a little bit of an accent, but he's got a little bit of a stilted speech. So I don't think he's as effective as a speaker as he is when he's communicating via his platform, which is Twitter, where he has what? How many millions of followers does he have?
All of them.
All of them. He has all of them.
Let's just see. 200.5 million followers.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, anytime he posts anything, it gets so much attention. I mean, did you just see the crowd size at that rally in Butler?
I don't know what the capacity was, but the place was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is they had shooters on every roof this time for the Secret Service, you think?
I mean, they had to, right?
My guess is they would hope. They expanded the perimeter by a couple of hundred yards this time, I would hope.
I don't know if there was any more extensive checks for people when they walk. I don't know what you would do. I don't know how that would look.
They also had the bulletproof glass up in front of him, surrounding him on three sides. Somebody would have had to shoot him from behind to get the job done. And there was a platform behind him. So that would have been difficult for sure. But if you missed that, I've got some of his comments. We'll play those throughout the morning. By the way, we're live up on Rumble. We are not live yet again on Facebook. We're working on that. We're live on X this morning. So welcome into the show, however you're listening. Coming up, Hans von Spakovsky on some of the efforts around the country to stop election integrity. It amazes me what these leftists are up to. We're going to get to that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Hans, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Mark.
You know, I listened to the president's speech up in Butler, Pennsylvania this weekend, and it's just odd that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court just made a pretty big decision up there as well. Once again, correct me if I'm wrong here, the left, these leftist groups stepped in to try to stop election integrity in Pennsylvania, and the Supreme Court rejected it.
That's right. They tried to say that a law that requires you, when you sign your absentee ballot, to also put a date on it, that you shouldn't be required to comply with saying putting a date on it. And the state Supreme Court threw it out. Now, it was a procedural matter. They said, well, you didn't sue the right people. But this close to the election, even if they refile it, you know, I doubt that the left is going to get what they want out of the case.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, they said they wouldn't deal with it this close to the election. The chief justice of the Supreme Court disagreed with that decision and claimed that people were going to be disenfranchised. I mean, it's pretty simple. You can either follow the rules or you don't have to. But if you choose not to follow the rules, why shouldn't that be watched?
Well, in fact, Mark, you'd make a better Chief Justice of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, because the case is absolutely that simple. And it's the left wanting to take away anything that would help, for in this case, for example, make sure that you actually voted prior to Election Day. You know, none of this would be a big issue if states would go back to saying, you know, if you're going to use an absentee ballot, it's got to be in the hands of election officials by the end of Election Day. These kind of issues are caused by the fact that now they're now saying, oh, you know, these absentee ballots, we'll keep counting them even if they come in after Election Day.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. You know, I did also read a story this weekend. I don't want to catch you off guard with this one, but it was reported by the Detroit News, of all people, showing a redacted police report describing how the Muskegon city clerk in Michigan encountered a woman dropping off 8,000 to 10,000 completed voter registration applications, but the registrations included the same handwriting, non-existent addresses, and incorrect phone numbers. And she worked for one of these outside groups paid for by black money, you know, dark money, that was trying to register people for Joe Biden. I mean, here we go again. They'll deny it every time. And then you find more examples of potential fraud.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for them catching her, those would have gone in. And, you know, the likelihood that election officials would have just processed them without noticing anything, unfortunately, highly likely.
You know, Hans, we're what, like 30 days or so out from the election. And I saw this article that you had written on the Daily Signal talking about how the Naval Academy had invited this history professor to come speak. And this person has already said, yeah, I plan to attack Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, in the blog that she wrote about it, she's comparing him to Vladimir Putin. Basically, she was saying he's a fascist. He loves Vladimir Putin. He loves the dictator of China. I mean, it's like she's hallucinating in the things she's saying. But look, the point isn't do you agree or disagree with her. The Naval Academy is not supposed to be engaging in partisan election interference, and yet they've invited this woman to come speak. By the way, you won't find that on their website. In the past, they've always publicized this lecture, this annual lecture. The only reason we know she's there is because she blogged about it.
Wow. And you cited the directive which bans members like that from engaging in partisan political activities. What's their excuse here? Are they claiming free speech?
They haven't reacted. I haven't seen that they have said anything about us pointing out who they're having, though.
Well,
I tell you, though, after publishing this, I've been called and contacted by all these retired naval officers who are really upset about this.
Well, because they wouldn't have somebody there who would probably attack Kamala Harris, right? It's just okay
exactly.
It's Donald Trump, right? And you have to wonder how many other schools, well, in this case, this is the Naval Academy, but how many other schools are doing this across the country?
Yeah, no, that is exactly right. And, boy, you know, given the creative fantasies in this supposed historian's mind, she's from New York University. Boy, I also feel I feel sorry for her students that she's the history professor yeah. they're getting with her warped view of the world.
Boy, that's the truth. Hans, thanks for your time this morning, as always. We appreciate it. Have a great week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hans von Spakovsky there, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. You know, something else just popped up here. I'm going to get to it when we get back here. We're going to talk to Nicole Murray. But a video just surfaced of a FEMA training on disaster response. And they want to focus their effort on LGBTQIA people who were already struggling before the storm, and they want to make sure that more resources are going to those people than anybody else. Because we have to overreach our efforts in order to provide equity in storm relief. It's unbelievable how far left these government agencies have drifted. We'll get to that when we come back.
Follow the show on Facebook. facebook.com/TheMarkCoxShow.
Governor Walz, you claimed you were in Hong Kong during the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre when you were home in Minnesota. Can you explain that?
So I think what happened is I went to Epcot. You can go around the whole world, and I had a couple in the Germany section, and I thought I went to China. Anyway, I'm a knucklehead.
I mean, who hasn't had a couple in the Germany section at Epcot?
Well, and I feel like a knucklehead a lot of the time,
I'm just saying. I did, Saturday Night Live actually attempting to be funny again. Isn't that when they play both sides, then they play kind of down the middle? People can appreciate that, but they've been one-sided for so long that it's really kind of hard to wrap your brain around it. But when they do it right, I'm happy to play some examples of that on the air. And it was pretty funny this weekend. Maya Rudolph as Kamala Harris has just been fantastic. And Dana Carvey is killing the Joe Biden
bit. All the mannerisms.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
And here's the facts.
For real.
Those are the facts.
I mean it.
It was really good. Let's get to Nicole Murray. Nicole, were you up late enough to watch SNL Saturday?
Oh my gosh, absolutely not.
No?
Absolutely not.
Catching up on that sleep, huh?
I slept so much this weekend, it's almost embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Missed a party out of it, it's fine.
Carl and I slept well Saturday night, didn't we, Carl?
Well, once we got home.
Yeah, Carl invited me to a charity event, and we had a great time. Good enough time that I had to get an Uber home. Let's put it that way.
I heard bourbon tasting?
It was. Yeah,
and
it was fantastic.
Burgers. You poor thing.
Well, it was awful.
It must have been awful.
Somebody's got to do it, though, you know?
Well, we raised money for charity, so that was the best
part. We did. We felt good about it at the end of the night.
I'm glad to hear that.
And here's a hint, just a pro tip. If you're drinking really good bourbon, you don't have a hangover the next day.
True.
Really?
And wine can knock you out, in my opinion, so...
Oh, see, I'm a Prosecco gal. I love that bubbly stuff. Rosé, Prosecco. Ooh. I am so basic, but I love it.
Man. All right. No, thank you. But we're good. Each his own. What's going on out there?
Futures are moderately lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 341, the NASDAQ up 219, and the S&P 500 up 51. Toilet paper is back on store shelves. Induced by fears of the national port workers' strike, St. Louis shoppers took part in a few days of panic buying. Last week, toilet paper was hard to come by because many consumers did not know that it is domestically produced. Big box stores had restored supplies by Friday afternoon. Joker 2 raked in just $40 million at the domestic box office during its opening weekend, which is a much weaker launch compared to the original Joker. That tallied just over $96 million during its debut. At the present, the sequel carries a 33% score on Rotten Tomatoes. The 2024 box office has been inundated with sequels, prequels, and remakes, with the top 10 titles of the year all coming from existing intellectual property. That trend is expected to continue into 2025. Up to 70% of the movies from the six major studios, Universal, Disney, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Sony, and Lionsgate, will be related to existing intellectual property. The FDA has upgraded a previous egg recall to Class 1 to warn customers of serious reactions and possible death if consumed. The advisory, which applies to eggs made by Milo's Poultry Farms, M&E Family Farms, and Tony's Fresh Market, says the eggs could have been contaminated with salmonella. 65 people in various states have reported illnesses. The FDA has recalled, once again, guacamole sold by Supreme Service Solutions in Kroger stores due to a possible listeria contamination. The agency has ranked the advisory as the highest risk classification available. And finally, spooktacular or just plain creepy? An Indiana haunted house is going viral for putting willing participants in cages for the experience. This specific haunted attraction brings out all the stops, and according to its social media accounts, nowhere is off limits.
I mean, wow. What do you mean they put them in cages?
They put them in cages. Like, imagine one of those medium to large dog cages.
Oh, my God.
People are scrunched up and carried around by different characters.
Oh, wait, so they're carried around in the cages. I thought maybe someone would jump out and shove you in the cage in the middle of walking through this, and that was why it was so terrifying, because you didn't know when you were going to be grabbed.
No, that people are willingly doing it. Like the video that went viral, one of the young guys that agreed to do it is seen waving at the camera. Like, you know what you're getting into. It's not like, boo, all of a sudden you're in a cage and you're never getting out. Or at least I hope not.
Well, speaking of those haunted houses, one of my favorite posts I've seen on social media is the one where the shots of people they take at the moment one of these characters jumps out at them in the haunted house, and just the abject terror that's on their face.
Yeah.
Even though they know the person doing it is an actor or somebody just getting paid $15 an hour to work at the haunted house. I've never understood that.
Well, it's about when. You never know when. You never know how or where they're coming from. Would you ever step into a cage like this willingly?
No.
Are you brave enough?
I don't even like haunted houses. I used to watch scary movies like The Ring and What Lies Beneath, and no, I will not watch one anymore.
Well, if they're carrying the cage around, they would need somebody lighter than me.
Well,
so I don't have to worry about it.
They roll it.
Oh, they roll it around.
This just sounds weird now.
So nice
no,
try.
No, thank you. Yeah. No, thank you. Don't poke the bear. They'd have to put a sign on the side of mine. It said, don't poke the bear.
I'm packing.
Feed him bourbon.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Nicole, thank you. We'll talk to you Wednesday.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, appreciate that. So, not surprisingly, you can see the shift in the media strategy of the Harris Walls campaign right now. She did 60 Minutes. I guess that airs tonight. There's a special 60 Minutes that's going to air tonight. And she's going on The View.
What? How's she going to handle all those tough questions she'll be asked?
I don't know. It's going to be tough. She's going on The View. She's going on The Howard Stern Show, who obviously hates Trump. He said it before. He hates Trump supporters specifically. And she's going on The Stephen Colbert Show.
Did you also mention the sex podcast she went on to?
She did do the sex podcast with the called Call Her Daddy. Now, I don't know it's all as much about sex these days as it used to be, but that's how this lady got her start, was talking about sex. And I'm not making any extracurricular comments here about Kamala Harris, but here's a clip, because the lady was really fascinated by why Kamala Harris wanted to do her podcast and wouldn't go on other media. Go to cut 10, please.
I'm curious, like, you don't do too many long-form interviews. What made you want to do Caller Daddy today?
Well, I think you and your listeners have really got this thing right, which is one of the best ways to communicate with people is to be real, you know, and to talk about the things that people really care about. What I love about what you do is that your voice and your show is really about your listeners. And I think especially now, this is a moment in the country and in life where people really want to know they're seen and heard, and that they're part of a community, that they're not out there alone. And so I'm really glad to be with you.
Have you ever heard more word salad in your life?
No,
I came on your show because you have 2 million listeners who might vote for me.
I came on your show reluctantly because my staffers forced me to do it, even though I probably was kicking and screaming the entire way there, saying this is ridiculously embarrassing.
Well, I doubt if she was.
I think she was. I don't think she wanted to do that podcast. Call Her Daddy. Madam Vice President, you're going on the Call Her Daddy podcast. You know, it's a sex podcast. I think she went on there because her staffers forced her, because, to your point, she has millions of listeners, and she gets big names like Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus. And, I mean, gosh, I was looking at Allie Raisman, the gymnast, and Demi Lovato. Simone Biles was on this podcast. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Maybe they told her Willie Brown had been on this podcast, so she wanted to go there again.
I'm just saying. I'm waiting to
mayor
connect
of San
the
Francisco.
Oh, okay, that guy.
She had the affair. Oh,
okay.
Him.
I figured as soon
he
as you said
16,
the mayor, I'm
she
like, okay.
was 29. Yeah, I'm in
that old thing.
That old thing. That old news. You know, whatever. Anyway, she's doing the other left wing media today, so that's not a surprise. Still won't do any hard hitting interviews, and She went on 60 Minutes. They released a preview of it, and she refused to say if she supported Benjamin Netanyahu on the day of the anniversary of the terrorist attack 1 year ago. It was embarrassing. So, boy, we have that to look forward to tonight. We're going to be back in just a minute.
you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Well, Dolly Parton does it again. The country music star and Appalachia native announced she's donating $1 million to Hurricane Helene relief efforts. That money will go to the Mountain Ways Foundation, which is a nonprofit dedicated to immediate assistance to the victims there. Well, this was cool. She was joined by the Walmart CEO, who said that that company, which of course includes Sam's Club, they're going to donate $10 million to the relief efforts across the affected states.
She always does that.
She always does.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that she's stepped in. Considering the fact that a lot of the support people have seen in those areas has come from local people as opposed to the federal government. That's not disinformation. It's just a fact. I know people that live down there, and a lot of the support they've received has been other people bringing in water and food and stuff to help them out.
I'm surprised more stars like Dolly Parton haven't stepped up. Maybe they have, and we just haven't heard about it in such a public way. But, I mean, I would think they have a little bit of spare money that they could maybe help with.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she's doing $1 million of her personal funds and then $1 million like, through her different
charities
That's and cool. organizations.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, she's got a big heart, obviously. All right, heads up for any Amazon members. October Amazon Prime Day starts at 2 a.m. this morning. So it's overnight, and it's going to wrap up Wednesday night. It's a two-day deal. The retailer's promising Black Friday-level deals on everyday essentials and top brands, including Apple, Samsung, KitchenAid, and Lego. Here's the thing, though. You do have to be a Prime member to get the deals.
Well, of course.
But who isn't a Prime member these
days?
I mean, honestly, I hate to say it, but we are.
It's free shipping. It's all that stuff. We need a new Christmas tree. We were looking yesterday at Home Depot, and the one we wanted, of course, was $500. So we were kind of hoping that maybe during Amazon Prime, some of those are on sale.
I grew up with a real Christmas tree, but now we've had a fake one. I love, nothing beats the smell of the real tree.
But my mom's allergic.
Well, really?
Yeah, we never had one because my mom's allergic to them. So.
She allergic to like a specific...
Pine. Okay. Just grass, pine. She's always had allergies to that.
I was going to say, you can come down to Ted's. We could sell you a tree.
Oh, yeah. I bet you could. Yeah, Ted Drew's, right?
Well, that's a good reason to not have a real tree if your mom's allergic
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Meta, the parent company, of course, of Facebook, recently announced its first augmented reality glasses that are called Orion. Zuckerberg thinks that these wearable glasses could end up replacing smartphones by the end of the decade. These glasses have the ability to show life-size holograms of people. They have big screen entertainment, so it looks like a TV. A huge big screen TV is right in front of you, so you could watch TV shows, movies. They even, let's say you look at an object like a food items that are sitting on a table, it will label above them what they are, and then you can even pull up recipes.
How
basically,
many calories?
Anything that you could do, probably. Anything you can do on your phone, essentially, you can do on these Orion augmented reality glasses.
So I go to Ted Drew's to get a big old custard, and it's going to tell me this is 3,000 calories. Then I'm going to feel guilty.
What if you wear contacts?
I don't think that
would... You'd have to wear glasses.
I don't think that would matter. These, by the way, are not available for consumers just yet, but they are kind of creepy.
That's awful.
I mean, the things they can do, it's...
They're going to be wrecks all over the place. Like, you would have to be disabled when you're driving.
Well, yeah, because people will
be watching movies
while
they're driving.
They already probably do that on their phones, but now they're going to have it in their glasses. Yeah, not a good idea.
Smack that phone out of their hand.
Hey, bring out your tiny violins, because Jesse Smollett says he's spent $3 million of his own money to pay for his hoax case. The actor's facing charges for staging a racist and homophobic attack against him. He recently did an interview with Entertainment Tonight saying, "I don't want a felony on my record for something I didn't do." He says he didn't set this up. Yeah, I didn't stage it.
Yeah, those two guys that just testified against him, those brothers, they were lying. Have you heard their interview on Kill Me? Kill Me did an interview with the brothers.
No.
And it's pretty eye-opening. He absolutely did it, and he orchestrated the whole thing.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Going to get a Subway sandwich. Give me a break. All right, a quick one. You know the singer The Weeknd? Well, he was recently attacked by a concert goer while he was performing in Australia on Saturday. He was about an hour into his concert when some guy jumps up on the stage and tries to hug him. So security ends up grabbing this guy and getting him off. But this guy calls himself the CEO of trolling and was wearing a shirt that had a picture of the Ukrainian flag on it that said, "Free."
Wow. But he's okay?
He just got a hug from the weirdo.
A hug. Great.
I just wanted a hug.
That's all we need.
Buddy the Elf, anyone? No? No?
Yeah.
No?
Back in just a minute, we're going to talk to Rabbi Jeffrey Abraham about the one-year anniversary of the October 7th attack in Israel. Stay tuned.